everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss the Western EIM Resource Efficiency Evaluation Enhancement Phase 1 Revised Draft Tariff Language. Please note this will be a verbal update as we are currently experiencing technical difficulties. My name is Elisandra Casillas, representing the Stakeholder Affairs Group here at the ISO, and I will be facilitating today's meeting. And I'm also joined by John Anders from Legal. Please note the revised draft tariff language and other materials related can be found on the Western EIM Resource Efficiency Evaluation Enhancements Phase 1 Initiative webpage. Some meeting reminders, this call is being recorded and the MP3 audio file will be posted on the initiative webpage for information and convenience purposes only. The recordings and any related transcriptions should not be reprinted without the ISO's permission. This meeting is structured to stimulate dialogue and engage different perspectives. Please keep comments professional and respectful. Also, please try and be brief and refrain from repeating what has already been said so we can manage the time efficiently. Instructions for asking questions. We will pause for questions periodically throughout the meeting. Please press #2 on your device. Please remember to state your name and affiliation first. And for today's agenda, after I'm finished with today's introduction, I will turn it over to John, who will review the comments received on the revised draft tariff language. And from there, I will go over the next steps at the end of this meeting. From here, I will now turn it over to John Anders.
Thank you, Ellie, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm hopeful that most of you have been able to navigate to the revised tariff language that we posted yesterday. It's in the usual location on the initiative webpage there, and it'll be important, particularly for this call, because I'll be walking through that document without the WebEx for everyone to see it. So you'll kind of have to keep up along on your own. And, you know, if anyone's having any difficulty along the way with finding the document or getting lost along the way, please just raise your hand and let us know, and we'll try to orient you so that we can get through this, you know, today. But in any event, for those of you who don't know, my name is John Anders. I'm in the legal department, and I'll be walking us through the incremental changes we're proposing to the draft tariff language that was posted a couple weeks ago. I think it was January 14, and then we updated that with a few minor edits the following Tuesday, January 18. But we did receive your comments. We really appreciate the comments we did receive. And those were helpful in improving and clarifying the draft tariff language. So just so you all know, this is a revised version. We'll be looking for further comments from you all in about a week or so. So, you know, take this opportunity to understand everything and orient yourself and provide further feedback next week. So the changes, which are all incremental and shaded in blue to help us stay focused, really address two separate areas. The first is, of course, your comments that we received, and we've called those out in response, and I'll walk through that. So that's one. The second is really we're doing the best we can, I guess, to try to clarify the resource efficiency evaluation and the different tests that are performed within that as a baseline as we move forward with these enhancements and potentially future enhancements. You know, this will be helpful, we hope, in making it clear, you know, the various tests that are performed, you know, from the balancing test, capacity test, flexibility test, and then, you know, at the beginning, sort of the feasibility test, as it's called. So I'll walk through those as well here today. So just to get started, I think the easiest way for us all to navigate together will probably just be to go through the comments that are in the margin. So the first comment, and here we're in section 29.34E, and in subsection 4 of that section, there was a comment from PG&E, and their comment was concerning the reference to the state of charge for non-generator resources or storage devices. And they were wondering, since normally or in many circumstances that's considered sort of real-time telemetered information, what is the state of charge of one of these resources? What's the baseline, and how will we envision that be referenced? So we've added some language here just to let everyone know that the expectation is that it's the state of charge for the resource known at the time of the submission of the base schedule information. So that could be updated through T-40 when final opportunity to update base schedules. So that would be the last opportunity to update the state of charge for the purposes of the resource sufficiency evaluations. And I think that came up again down below, but we can address it here. So I'm just going to see, I don't even know if anyone from PG&E is on the line or if they have any follow-up on that. But if we don't catch it here today, we can always take it in the form of a follow-up comment on the draft tariff language next week. So, Chris, let's just do a quick check and see if there's anyone in the queue for questions on this.
Sure. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, just please press #2 on your telephone keypad. Just give it a second. All right. Looks like I don't have any callers in the queue.
Okay. And if something comes to mind and we've moved past, don't be shy. We can always go back and cover something. Okay, so this is where WebEx would be much more convenient, but if we roll along into the next subsection J, you'll see in blue shading we've added a few words just to say end feasibility test, because really this section is where the CAISO validates the resource plan and performs, essentially the feasibility test. This is just the power flow to test for feasibility of the base schedules in the resource plan. Nothing really happening here in terms of the enhancements that are being discussed. We just thought adding a few words to call that out, make it clear that that's where that happens, since there's been talk about that in terms of the resource efficiency evaluation. Okay, now moving along to subsection K, and this is where things start to get a little bit more interesting in terms of the changes, and you'll see a lot of blue shading here. So let me first thank Six Cities for noting that there was some incorrect references because they were to a future version of the tariff, in essence. When we changed the proposed to change, which has been accepted by FERC, to change the final opportunity to update base schedules from T-40 to T-30 in that docket ER21-955, we deferred the effective date of that tariff language until fall of 2022, October. So that's not going to be in effect yet. So we need to go back and baseline this. And so that's what we've done here in various places. So that was pretty straightforward. The rest of the additional changes are designed to reflect the two dimensions to the EIM resource plan balance sort of evaluation. And the first is this concept of EIM-based schedule adjustments, which is really all that used to be in subsection K. And we haven't really proposed any changes to that other than to add the statement to call that out, EIM-based schedule adjustments. In the version posted previously, there was some additional language that we had proposed referencing the other subsections, but we've taken that out because we've done some more, severe surgery, whatever you want to call, and we've really called out the balancing test separately from the capacity test and the flexibility test. The balancing test and the capacity test in the prior version of the tariff were kind of, just sort of enmeshed and a little bit commingled. So we thought, let's call these out completely separate from each other so it's clear. And PG&E had some comments along these lines about what applies to the CAISO BAA and the EIM entity BAAs. And so we thought, for purposes of clarity going forward, it'd be good to have this defined separately. So in subsection 2 of K, 29.34K, we've done our best to narrate out separately from the capacity test discussion, the balancing test. And so I'm not going to go through this language in detail, but it doesn't, and the intent is not to have changed anything that was previously performed in terms of the balancing test, because that is not proposed to be changed as part of this initiative, but just to call it out separately. And you'll see we did add some additional details with the 1% tolerance around the demand forecast and whether the supply balances the demand forecast. And we've also proposed an additional reference to the over and under scheduling assessments that's performed in actually the settlement section of the EIM tariff, section 29.11D3. So in the originally posted tariff language, there was the policy proposal was captured that an EIM or a BAA in the EIM area not subject to the balancing test would not be eligible for revenue apportionment and allocation in accordance with that section 29.11D3. That's still here, and now we hope to have clarified the balancing test separate from the capacity test and also to connect the dots more clearly with the over and under scheduling assessments for entities that are out of balance. So that is what we've done there. And I think before I go then into the capacity test in the next subsection L, I'll open it up and see if there's any questions around what we've done there in the balancing test. Chris, can you check and see if there's anyone in the queue or looking to get into the queue?
Yeah, just a reminder, just press pound 2 if you want to ask a question. And it looks like I don't see any callers in queue.
Yeah, okay, that's perfectly fine. And this can just be a walkthrough, and we'll look forward to any comments next week. So we'll move on now to subsection L and what we're clarifying as the capacity test. And here we have incrementally shaded the changes in blue from the previous tariff. And again, here these are intended to both address stakeholder comments on the specific proposals and also to clarify that this is the capacity test and how it applies to the CAISO balancing area and to the EIM entity balancing authority areas in response to PG&E's requests. So here you'll see we've broken out two subsections for the requirements that they meet, that the resource plan meets the demand forecast for the balancing area in terms of the supply available. And then same for the CAISO BAA, except it's the RUC schedules, HASP advisory schedules, intertie block schedules, and FMM schedules for the CAISO balancing authority area must meet the demand forecast. I'll address a comment we did receive from PG&E here as well. And we had removed the uncertainty requirement. This was recently added, the what some folks call the net load uncertainty requirement, to the capacity test. And here PG&E requested that we recapture what's called the diversity benefit. And the diversity benefit is discussed below in terms of the flexible ramping test. And I was reviewing this and talked to our subject matter experts. And what ends up happening is, in fact, once you remove the uncertainty requirement or inclusion of the uncertainty requirement in terms of the capacity test as proposed, that there is no longer any diversity benefit that is considered in terms of the capacity test. The diversity benefit is only something that is then applied and calculated in the flexible ramping sufficiency test, which we'll cover in a minute. So that was a comment we received, and that's where we landed with that. I think I'll double check here and see if PG&E has any thoughts, if they're on the line about that. If not, it's not an issue, and I'm not joined, I don't think, by a subject matter expert on this call, so I may not be able to add a lot more color than I just did. So, but let's double check. Can we see if there's any comments about that?
Sure. And just a reminder, pressing #2 will raise your hand so you can either ask a comment or ask a question. Okay, looks like I'm seeing no hands raised.
All right. And again, we can follow up in the next round if need be. Okay, so then now we're going to move into the sort of the real substance of what is being considered in the policy initiative, and this is the various modifications or enhancements to what supply either counts or doesn't count in terms of the capacity test and the flexibility test as you know, in the calculations of whether you have sufficient capacity or flexibility to meet the requirements. So in this area, there haven't been a lot of changes. There was some clarifications and cross-references, but the main change was that both PG&E and Six Cities identified this is the non-generator resource storage devices state of charge consideration that was sort of mistakenly included under what didn't count as supply. So it was kind of in the opposite. So we've now moved that up in terms and cast it in terms of what counts as supply rather than in terms of what supply is not available. And so we think that now accurately reflects the proposal, and we appreciated that comment. That was clearly not the way to approach that issue. But otherwise, there was not a lot of changes to this section, some clarifications And another comment from PG&E, and I'll address this, is they had a question about when an offline generating resource received a dispatch instruction that was subsequently not followed. You know, what is the time frame for that, and whether the instructions were clear, absolute? And I talked to the subject matter experts, and we've clarified the dispatch instruction to be narrower. It's either a startup instruction or transition instruction, and it's subsequently not followed. So subsequent meaning subsequent to the time in which the instruction was issued, and it's then picked up in terms of what's counted or in this case not counted as supply in the capacity test. So hopefully that helps and answers people's question.
I do have a question. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear somebody. Yep.
Oh, good. This is August Fabetta from PG&E, and we appreciated your I don't remember whether you made the comment in exactly the way that you construed it, but you made a good change there on the NGR. But one question I still have on that is, what is the status in this language of NGR resources that do not have a state of charge?
So in terms of counting as supply, if they're non-generator resource and they don't, yeah.
What language applies to those?
So my understanding, and subject to check, I don't know who's online there. Anyway, I thought I heard somebody, but it is that if they don't submit a state of charge in terms of their base schedule, in other words, as required for the EIM entity submissions, in order to count, then they're not there. Those NGR resources, I guess, would not be considered because we'd have no baseline from which to consider them.
Okay. So if it's an NGR resource with no state of charge monitored by CAISO, it would still be able to provide its base schedule, but its bids around that base schedule would not be counted in the RSE evaluation.
Yeah, that's my understanding, as limited as it might be, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I think that does now take us through the counting of supply and the adjustments to the demand forecast based on demand response programs administered by EIM entities, and then moves us through the capacity test. Again, towards the end of this section, there was a request by PG&E to distinguish between the CAISO BAA and the EIM entities, similar to what had been done below under the flexible ramping test. And we've done that by breaking out separate subsections for the EIM based schedules and the determination of whether they have sufficient capacity, and the CAISO BAA in terms of whether they have sufficient capacity to meet the demand forecast. And again, we're trying to use as much parallel construction and language from what was previously there and moved a few things around, but we've shaded it all in blue so you can read it through. And, if you like the changes and track changes, look at it that way. Otherwise, you can turn it off and just see the blue shading and clean language. But all these incremental changes in blue are what we proposed. I did have a note, and I'll just cover it briefly. at the end of the capacity test, and this is the removal of the uncertainty requirement. That's part of the policy proposal and the discussion, but we have existing tariff authority in order to remove that. If we issue a market notice, and then 3 days or more after the market notice, we can remove that. If that occurs, which I'm not responsible for all of this, but I understand we will issue a market notice soon. If it occurs and we make the FERC filing of an information report before the submission of this tariff amendment, we'll go ahead and remove this language from the tariff. If that doesn't happen, we'll leave the language, but it'll become inoperable because it'll have been exercised and we'll have removed the tariff requirement. I think for clarity, our goal is to take care of this before the submission of the tariff language so that we can submit a tariff amendment that removes the language as no longer necessary, just to avoid future confusion. But we're not sure of the timing of that yet, or at least I certainly am not. Okay, now we're going to move down the line, and we're all the way into subsection M and the flexibility test or flexible ramping sufficiency test. And so here there were some clarifications and cross-references. Six Cities pointed out a few, and we've made a few adjustments because up above in what counts and doesn't count for supply, we moved a few things around, or at least one thing. So we needed to make some changes to cross-references. I'd say the biggest change is there's a detail that was previously in the BPM, and we've thought it was appropriate to move that up into the tariff calculation, and that's essentially that we apply a 1% or 1 megawatt tolerance around the uncertainty requirement in order to allow the calculation to not be less precise, but to have a little bit of tolerance. Otherwise, just a one decimal point way out there, you could be off. So that's been part of the test, and we're proposing to reflect that here in the tariff as to whether you have sufficient upward and downward ramping capability to meet the requirements within a 1% or 1 megawatt tolerance. So that's probably the biggest update from the previous version that was posted here. But again, we're changing some titles and breaking things up in subsections, so it's a little bit more clear, as all of this becomes more and more critical to properly functioning energy imbalance market. Everyone's paying very close attention, and there's discussion of possible penalties and consideration of that in a future phase of this initiative. We want to make sure that the baseline tariff is really as clear as possible so that there's no confusion, especially when we get into things like penalties and all of that. I think there's just one more section. I'll go all the way down. I'll go to N, subsection N, the effect of the resource capacity or flexibility and sufficiency. So we're only talking about resource capacity or flexibility and sufficiency here, because the failure of the balancing test is a separate issue, and that's over and under scheduling penalties. But I'm already seeing one thing that I made a recent change, and this is the very end. There's a big section. It was the reliability status, and basically this was that if EIM entity or the CAISO was under emergency conditions and taking emergency actions to address energy insufficiency in their BAA, they'd notify the ISO, and then they would be subject to EIM transfer limits, and that has been removed, and the reason it was removed from the draft tariff, apologize for not removing it from the heading. I'll go back and fix that. But the reason this was removed, it was removed from the proposal as it's going to the EIM governing body and board joint meeting next week. So the memo dated February 2nd does not include a proposal to have this emergency or reliability status notification and freezing or whatever you want to call it of the EIM transfer limits into or out of the BAAs. So that's been removed. That I think was in response to stakeholder comments and some DMM comments and other comments. So I guess all that will be reconsidered later in a subsequent phase of this initiative, but it's coming out of the tariff here because of that change from the revised draft final proposal to the board memo. And I called that out here. So that actually takes us through the language, quite a few small, changes. Hopefully all of that is helpful and makes sense. And, again, we look forward to any comments you have, and we'll just do a final call for questions here and see if anybody has anything to say. So Chris, you want to do a quick check, and then I think we've walked all the way through this. Hello?
Yep. It looks like I don't have any callers in the queue.
Okay. I appreciate your time and apologies for the lack of visual aid in going through these changes. But we do welcome additional comments, and we ourselves may, make a few clean up incremental minor changes. But we will look forward to your comments a week from today, so next Friday. And if need be, we'll publish a final or updated version of the draft tariff the following week before filing. At this time, we're looking towards filing later in February. We'll do what we need to do to get the tariff language right before submission, and align it with any of these more recent changes, and of course anything that may change as a result of the EIM governing body board discussion next week. So appreciate your time, and that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, John. As a reminder, comments on the revised draft tariff language are due by end of day, February 11th. Please use the template available on the initiative webpage to submit your comments. Thank you for joining today's discussion. As a reminder, this meeting was recorded for informational and convenience purposes only. The audio file will be posted on the initiative webpage for a limited time after this meeting. Before we close today's call, I want to bring to your attention of the publishing of the California ISO's first ever 20-year transmission outlook document. This document outlines long-term infrastructure needs to help enable and accelerate the integration of new renewable resources onto the grid. You can find it by going to the California ISO website and click on planning and the transmission planning webpage. You will also see that we posted the 2021-2022 transmission plan. A meeting will be held on both of these topics on Monday, February 7th. Please see the ISO calendar for conference details. In addition, the ISO has posted an Energy Matters blog post related to this topic available on the news page of our website. Again, thank you for joining today's discussion. We look forward to receiving your comments by the end of day, February 11th, and have a great rest of your day.